ليهم الناس هيدا مش هكول هي بتقول
اه so it goes like this rabbi say ila told us noach noach is tzadik tamim hayu bedoraisav esa lokim mishalach noach the midrash says why is his name noach what does noach mean noach means to rest or easy is a noach is easy and the midrash says noach hakadosh baruch hu noach was noach labrios ve noach lamokon he was easy to hashem noach lamokon ve noach labrios and he was easy for people also noach was an easygoing fellow. And the Chassam Sofer says something that is mavhil. Mavhil means that it's like startling. Listen to this. Says that this is startling. Says Noach Lamokoim was Noach's Maila. That was something positive. That was his attributes. Noach Labriois is Noach's Chisoron. That was his flaw. Being Noach Labriois sometimes is a flaw. Says the Chassam Sofer. Why? Because Noach was easy going. Because Baruch says, I want you to do this, no problem. And his friends are doing that, no problem. Noach was like easy going. He was like live and let live type of guy. You know what I mean? I do my thing, you do your thing. You know, everyone got along with Noach. Because Noach wasn't willing to get in their face. He wasn't willing to get in their face. And sometimes you have to get in people's face. For example, Avram Avinu, he got in people's faces. Avram Avinu, his father's got this idol shop, and Avram Avinu is not, he's not saying, Dad, do whatever you want, I'm going to go do my thing, you do your thing. No, absolutely not. Avram Avinu got in his father's face, and he broke all the idols. And he wanted to prove to everyone, anyone that came, Avram Avinu was trying to correct them. Don't just let people just do crazy things that are destructive to them. Noach was like, chill, you know, do whatever you want. It's your life. It's live and let live. That was Noach's chisaron. So Noach had a maila and a chisaron. And says the Chassam Sofer, you know, that's why Noach actually was deserving of a punishment. You know, being locked up in a teva is not a fun experience, I could imagine. You know what I mean? He's there in the teva, and he's locked up in this ark. And he's got to feed all the animals, and he's got like, you know, and there was restrictions and all that stuff. He was basically in prison. Noach was in prison. Why did he deserve prison? I understand when everyone said to be destroyed, but destroy the world and let him just go on with his life. No, he's got to be over there, and he's working overtime. He's got Noach fed all the animals, and if he came late, anyone know what happened? He came late one day. The lion took a swipe or a bite out of him. You know what I mean? This was like not. This is no cakewalk for him. This is one like a walk in the park. This is rough. Why did Noach deserve this? The answer is that he was deserving of a punishment, apparently, of some form, says the Chassam Sofer, because it was his. He's got to understand, you've got to take care of others. It's not only about you. Because Baruch Hu made him sit in that ark and take care of the entire universe. Every animal he had to take care of. And he was trying to teach him a lesson, is that there are sometimes other people doing things, you don't just let them do it. Can't do that. And even if it's not physically dangerous, you know, people relate to that. People, you know, if your friend was going to do something that was physically dangerous, you'd stop him for sure. Spiritual dangerous, nah, that's his own business. Why? This is the way people are, you know? So, a person has to realize sometimes you've got to get into someone's face. You got to tell them, buddy, you know, you're messing up your life. Don't do that. And that's the difference between Noach and Avram. Avram was Noach; he was too easy. And there are times to be easy, but there's also times to be hard. So that's what the pasuk says: Eile toldos Noach. Noach ish tzadik tamim hayo b'dayroisav es helukim es halich Noach. Noach went with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk says, Eile toldos Noach. It sounds like you're talking about the descendants of Noach, the offsprings of Noach. Toldos are the children, right? There's avos and toldos, right? It's the offspring. So it sounds like, why does it say, Eile toldos Noach, Noach ish tzadik tamim hayu b'dareisa. You're talking about like, Noach, you know, how did Noach behave? says Rashi, Hoyel v'hizkir sefer b'shvachai, siper b'shvachai. And the Melchash Iker told the same shel tzadikim ma'isim toifim. The main toldos of a person are his actions. A person bears fruit. There's your physical fruit, and then there is your spiritual fruit. Your physical fruit is your children. A person's main toldos are his ma'isim toifim, are the things that he does. I think that there's a theme over here in the parsha, which is the struggle between a person and his guf and his neshama. What is a person? Is he his guf or his neshama? And perhaps that's part of what's happening over here in the following way. Listen to this interesting thing. I was trying to understand, why is it that the lion bit Noach? What happened over there? Why was he being bit by the lion? And I was thinking perhaps the following thing. There was an interesting study that happened a few years ago where they found a new skeleton, which is called the Ardo. The Ardo is kind of like, it's an ape, but it's very close to the shape of a human being. Now, for hundreds of years, archaeologists have been looking for something called the missing link. You familiar with this missing link? The missing link is that they have lots of skeletons of monkeys and baboons. They have skeletons of humans. Now, according to the theory of evolution, which is Darwin's theory, so they should be finding some sort of remains or skeletons of something in between, because man went from monkey to human. So where is the missing link? It's called the missing link. Darwin himself wrote that if you do not find this missing link, then my theory has been proven to be false. But his followers feel a little bit like more dedicated to this theory than he was. And even though they have not found the missing link, they continue to believe in this preposterous theory called evolution. They found something called the Ardo. It is not the missing link. But they said we're a step closer to the missing link, because it's almost there. There's still significant differences between man and monkey, but they found the oldest skeleton of a monkey. I'm not sure. I don't remember anymore what it was. Anyway, they're still trying to find that missing link. And I believe that I have found proof for their theory that man comes from a monkey. I found it. And I found it in the Torah, believe it or not. Everyone thinks that the Torah doesn't believe in the theory of evolution. They're right, but they're wrong. There is actually proof in the Medrash that the Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he used many of the features of animals in order to create the human. He gathered together the animals and used from their spiritual energy to create man. So, in a sense, man came from an animal. Or at least the body of a man came from man. The soul of a man came straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the difference between man and an animal. Animal has no neshama. V'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, last week's parasha. So he blew into the through the nose, the nostrils of man, and he gave him a neshama. But be'etzem, we have a lot of animalistic qualities to us. And that's why the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Oimer. Come on. No. Oh, I got it. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Oimer. Havi Oz Kanomer. Kal Kanoshe. Rotz Katzvi. V'gibor. Ka'ari. You have to be. Which means you should be bold, like a leopard. Kal kanosher, swift, like a eagle. Rotz katzvi, fast as a deer, and strong as a lion. Why do you want me to be? Why should I be fast as a deer? It's a deer, not me. Because the deer has, Kadosh Baruch Hu ingrained in us certain of these qualities. And the question is, what do we do with them? Do we channel them towards using them for lasoy sritzoin avicha shabashamayim? We're going to use them for a purpose of avodas Hashem or not? Or if you want, you could be there's no sports team called the Leopards that I know of, but there is the Ravens and the Eagles, and there's the Tigers, the Lions. You got all those. And then you could, use all of your athletic prowess to basically try to make yourself like an animal. That's basically what these people do. I mean, you speak about them, sometimes you speak about sports, but the guy is an animal. He is an animal. It's like, and that is talking about how great he is. He is amazing. He is an animal. Which is basically, what you're doing is you're channeling all your energies to try to mimic the animals. Animals are the most coordinated, much more coordinated than humans. I love watching animals. They're so coordinated. You very rarely ever see, practically never, an animal like slip or trip or, jump and like hurt and fall. Animals always know how much they can jump and how fast they can run. Humans are much less coordinated. Humans, they're always like messing things up. Animals are very coordinated. So if you want to like, person is like, his life is to become coordinated. So he's like trying, he's aspiring to become an animal. And there's no sports team called the humans. You know what I mean? It's like that's just not exciting, right? To be a tiger is like, or something like that. What? The Panthers? There's the Panthers, yeah. There is something. I'm pretty sure. Right, there is? It's a newer team. That's why it's after my time. The Jaguars? There you go. I don't know why they don't have like the monkeys or anything like that, like for a basketball team. I just saw this guy's hanging on the rim. You know what I'm talking about?
The baboons.
The baboons, yeah. It's a given? There you go. A kitzer. So what's going on is as follows. A person is supposed to channel his energies towards his avodas Hashem. And that's the challenge we have. We're a partial human. We're partial physical and partial spiritual. Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Vayitzar Adam. It says the Pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. And there's two yuds to say because there's two creations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our Ruchnis and our Gashmis. What is our focus? Where are we focused? The Pasuk tells us, Iker told the same shall Shel Tzadikim are their mice and toivim. We have offspring. We have physical offspring. We have spiritual offspring. A person has to focus on his Ruchnis, on what he has accomplished in this world. To channel his gashmius towards ruchnius, to accomplish something. Those are the real toldos. That's really the products that a person has. And perhaps that's why the Ari was the one that bit Noach, because Noach was not exercising enough gvura. He's supposed to be gibor ka'ari. And Noach was slacking. So therefore, the Ari was reminding him that you have the strength of the lion that you've got to try to make sure that you use. And that's what every person has to do. Akopan of the Pasuk says, Vatishchoche es ha'oretz mifnei ha'alokim, vatimole ha'oretz chomos. The world got, Tishchoche es ha'oretz means the world got hashchosa, which is decadent. Vayaral kim es ha'aretz v'hinei nishchasa ki hishchis kol basar es dar kol ha'aretz. Hashem saw that all flesh has become this decadent. Hishchis kol basar. What does it mean, kol basar? It says Rashi, afilu behema chaya ve'oif niskakim l'she'eno minam. Even a behema, chaya and oif have already started doing acts of lewdness. Animals were doing Gilei Arayos. So basically, let me ask the following question. This is the Dvar Torah that we sent this week in the newsletter. Look, I understand human beings. They are creatures that exercise free will. They have choices. And a person can really become a bad person by choosing improperly numerous times. But how is it that the animals started like doing the wrong thing? Animals don't have bechira. So what does the pasuk say? Ki hishchis kol basar as darko. Even the animals are doing something wrong. Listen to what the Beis Halevi says. I think that you all would have come into it on your own, but I do think it's a very important message. Beis Halevi says the following thing. Says the Beis Halevi, when a person does a mitzvah, so it improves his neshama. It makes him into a better person. But it does more than that. Shimi, listen to this. This is really amazing. It does more than that. When a person does a mitzvah, he creates a positive spiritual energy in the air around him. And he's permeating this positive feeling of ruchnius and kedusha. When a person does mitzvahs, that's what happens. When a person does averas, what happens is he creates a negative spiritual force that just is like, it's just coming out of him, that can affect his surroundings. It's even powerful enough to impact animals. And if a person is doing lots of averas, there's tons of this tumah that is just coming out of him, then the animals and the people around him are going to start becoming like him. That's what happens. So the animals didn't choose to do this znus, but when that's what's going on in society, that's what happens to the animals also. And that's how powerful surroundings are. A person has to be so careful about whose company he keeps. I heard from a big Baal Madrega. He's a Rosh Hashiva who I'm very close with. He said, sometimes I go to the Kaisel, and I'm davening, and I say, there's someone here, I can feel it. And I look around, and like, there's Reb Scheinberg. Or there's Reb Shmuel. This is when Shlomo Zalman Orbach was alive. So you just feel it, you get there. He's on a high Madrega. So you can just feel the Kedusha. You're like, something's here. I heard from a Talmud of Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was walking in the streets of New York with his Talmidim. I heard from a Talmud who was there when it happened. And Rabbi Chanan's walking to me and he says, Rabbi said, let's cross the street. It's Tumah over here. It's Tumah. They walked across the street, and as they were walking, they noticed that there was a place that they did Averis across the street on the side. I said to him, Rebbe, it's amazing, you were able to like feel that? He said, the Chofetz Chaim would have been able to tell you exactly what Averis. He was so in touch. Chofetz Chaim would, like the Tumah, he would have felt it. I knew there was something going on, I couldn't tell you what it was. But my Rebbe, he would have told you exactly what was happening. But this is people that are in touch with reality. Even if we don't feel it, that's what happens. When you walk down that street, you are being contaminated by that tumah. You might not realize it, but that's what happens. Even animals, for sure, people. That person has to be so careful about the company that he keeps. And I tell you, that, I think, is the pshat in the Mishnah that begins, the Maimar Chazal in the beginning of this week's parasha. It says, by Noach, Yesh Dorshin L'Gnai, Yesh Dorshin L'Shvach. It says, Noach, Ish Tzadik Tamim Hayo B'Doy Roysav. He was a tzadik in his generation. What does that mean? Some people say it means that even in such a terrible generation, he was a tzadik. Wow, isn't that nice? It's such a good thing to say about Noach. Other people say, nah, it's saying L'Gnai, which is the saying something that's negative about Noach. He was only a tzaddik in his generation. If he would be in Avram's generation, it wouldn't have been such a big tzaddik. I mean, compared to Avram, we knew he wasn't a big tzaddik. Got it? That's the way that... So most people understand that. You know, some people are trying to put down Noach. Why would Chazal be... The Pasuk is saying, tzaddik tam moya b'doroi, so it's yesh darshan l'gnai. What's pshat in this? I think the pshat is something else. There's no question everyone agrees. Noach was not on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And if he would have been of Avram Avinu, if it would have been Moshe's, Avram Avinu's generation, where he was wouldn't have been considered so chashev. But Noach reached where he reached, even though he had all those negative forces around him. If he wouldn't have had them, if he would have been in a different generation with less tumah, he would have reached much higher if he would have had different surroundings. Melech for sure would have done better. But where he was, because he was being held back by the people that were around him. And it's an amazing Zohar. It is a frightening Zohar. We speak about it every year. When we get there, we'll speak about it again. But it says that Avram Avinu, when he started getting close to Mitzrayim, we'll speak about the whole Zohar when we get there. He said, I'm starting to feel like a Baal Taiva. The Zohar says. Because Mitzrayim was Shtufei Zima. And when he went into that place, he started feeling like he's losing his sensitivities. So everybody say, people say, you know, I go to certain places, I just don't go there to eat, I just go there for just walking through, I'm just this, I'm just that. They're getting destroyed, they are getting violated. Pardon me for saying this, the neshama is getting raped. And they don't even realize. A person has to exclude himself. Because Baruch Hu had to create for Noach a teva. It was too much. It was going to kill him. And we're the same thing. We're exact same way. We have to be very careful about the company that we keep. And if a person's company is not doing the right thing, we have to get in their face. And say, hello, buddy, you can't do this. That's what Avraham Avinu did. And that's sometimes yes, sometimes no. Obviously, it's not always the appropriate thing to do, but sometimes it is. So that is the pasuk says over here about the animals. The animals were even the animals were started doing the wrong thing. Okay, says the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayirma lakim lenoyach kets kol basar ba'lefanai ki malah haaretz chamas nehem v'hinini mashchisam es haaretz," because the world has been filled with chamas. Chamas, it's a machlok exactly what it is, but kipshuto, it's gezel, or it's arayas, whatever it is. I want to leave you with one quick vart, which is Reb Shimshon Ashtapolar, which is a beauty. This is a beauty. This is mamish, one of my favorite varts, like, around. I love when there's some sort of significance to different midas. For example, does anyone know how big the teva was? 300, 50, 30, there's one more mida. Ama techalena milamala. It was one ama on top, right? Because it was on a slant. So it was shloish me'ez ama, right? Chamishim, shloishim, and so it's, what is it again? 300, 300 by 50, by 30, by 1. Is that correct? So says Rav Shimshon Ashtapolar, I want to tell you why the table was exactly those midas. You need a pen and paper in order to really. And I'm telling you, I personally think you want to write this one down. This is like mamish. This is one of my favorites. It's as follows. We know in the world there are two major evil forces that exist. Okay. And those two are called the Samach Mem and the Nachash. The Nachash is the snake, and the Samach Mem is the Malach. We call him the Samach Mem. He's a Malach. Every Malach has the Shem Hashem in its name. There's Gabriel, Michael. There is anyone else? Uriel. There's we said Raphael, Michael. They're all. That's all of them. They're all like that. So the Samach Mem also, people don't say his name, the Chassidim, yeah, because he is the one who shall not be named. So we don't say his name. We just call him the Samach Mem. But it's really, his name is really Samach Mem, Aleph, and Lamed. Because he's a Malach. This is the Malach. It's Muna up there on bad, evil stuff. And down here is the Nachash. Got it? Now, as we are speaking with some of the other boys yesterday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu really gives life even to the Samach Mem. He's a Malach, which means that Hashem put him in this world. And the Nachash too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in his world. Right? So there is some sort of Kedusha that's there that allows it to be sustained. And that Kedusha is what gives it life. When it comes to the Samach Mem, what is the Kedusha that gives it? What would you say the Kedusha that gives its life. Of its letters, the letters of its name. Which letters give life or to the name? What? Aleph and Lamed. Why would you say those are the names? That's the Shem Hashem. That's every Malach has a Tafkid, and then there's an Aleph Lamed at the end. So what gives the Chiyus to the Samach Mem is its letter Aleph and Lamed.
Every other one isn't the Aleph Lamed.
No, it is also. But over those, but the Samach Mem has a lot of negative to it. All the other ones are all positive. Now the Nachash, if we look at the Nachash for a second. The Nachash has negativity in it. If you take a look at the letters of the word Nachash, so there's one letter in particular that's a bad letter. Would you say that that is the letter Nun, the letter Chet, the letter, or the letter Shin? Nun? Why the letter Nun? What?
Because
that's Neufel, good. But that's good, but let's do another one. Letter Nun, letter Chet, the letter Shin. Why the letter Chet? Chet is Chet. So we're going to take the letter Chet. And the Pasuk says, there's a Pasuk. The Nachash has Chet Bein Shinov. Between its teeth. Shinov is the Shin and the Nun. The Chet is between the Shin and the Nun are the teeth. The Nachash, what is its poison it gives you through its teeth? The poison is the Chet. And the Shin and the Nun of the letters Nachash are between them. So the evil of the Nachash is the Chet, is the sin. Got it? So the life is Shin and Nun. So let's try to take Shin and Nun out of the Nachash. So we've taken Shin and Nun out of the Nachash. What have we taken out of the Samach Mem? Aleph and Lamed. So let's do the gematria over here. What's the gematria of Shin? 300. The gematria of Nun? 50. The gematria of Aleph? The gematria of Lamed? 30. Those are exactly the midos of the Teva. It's Shloshim Meos Ama, Chamishim Meos, Shloshim, the Ama Techem Lena Melamala. Those are the exact midos of the Teva. So what Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing is saying as follows: listen, we have to remove any spirituality from the evil, bring it into the Teva, and let the world destroy itself. So brought that into the Teva through the midos of the Teva. You got it? Now, what are the letters remaining from the Samach Mem and the Nachash?
Samach.
Samach, Mem, and Ches. Put the Ches before the Samach and the Mem. What does it spell? It spells the word Chamas. To switch the order. Chamas. Kimala Kol Ha'aretz Chamas, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu let all of that evil out there, whatever was left, took all of the Kedusha into the Teva, and started the world all over again. That's what happened. So if you ever need to remember, this is the way I remember the Midas of the Oren, because it's just not easy for me to remember. I just do a little bit of cutting and pasting with the letters of the Samach Mem, which is Samach Mem Aleph and Lamed, and then the Nachash. This is a vort from Reb Shimshon Ashtepaller. Shimshon Ashtepaller was known for very creative, like interpretations of the Torah. It's brought down in the Sefer Or Gedal Yohu. If you want to see it inside, I'm going to end with one last vort. Pasuk tells us that Noach was lived through a very difficult generation, and the world basically came to a point where it had to be destroyed. And after Noach was finished, 10 generations later, we were back where we started from. It was a different manifestation of the problem, but we 10 generations later we're at the Dor HaFlaga, which is a door also, which is headed to ruins. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't destroy the world because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris, which is the rainbow, that he's not doing it. But we didn't really get that far. What happened wrong? How is it that history repeated itself? Noach came out of the Teva. We started everything over again. We would assume that we would have gotten somewhere. And in the end, 10 generations later, we're right back to where we started from. I think that perhaps the word is as follows. This is something that Rabban Kotler says in a different way, but basically the same idea. Is when Noach came out of the Teva, what did he do? He planted a vineyard, and he drank some grapes, and he got drunk. Which means as follows. Listen, I worked really hard. I got to relax a little bit. It's time to chill. And Noach chilled. And problems arose immediately. Baron Cutler's Medayik, the difference between Noach and Avram is Avram, even after he went through difficult things like the Akedah, he didn't say, okay, it's time to relax. He said, okay, it's time for me to take it to the next level. I did it. I accomplished this. Now I got to take it to the next level, and I have to keep moving forward. I can't stay still. If a person is gonna take time and he's going to like slack off, he's going to end up just being back where he started from. We have to think about taking things to the next level. So Noach went through something that was historic. And it would have remained historic if he would have said, okay, it's time for it to move forward. But he didn't. He said, it's time for me to relax. When that happened, everything fell apart. I'll tell you a story about a boy who I know who was from a very firm home and came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was doing very well. And he told me the story when he was intoxicated. And he went off the derech and had piercings all over his bodies and tattoos and like terrible mamish. Kid was a wreck. And Baruch Hashem, he came back and he's pretty stable. Married with children, Baruch Hashem. So he told me, he said, you know what happened to me in Eretz Yisrael? He said, I was learning Eretz Yisrael and I was doing well, but I was bugging out a little bit. So I said to my Rebbe, Rebbe, I need a break. I want to take 2 days off from yeshiva. And my Rebbe gave it to me. He said, and that was the problem. He said, he should not have given it to me. He should have told me, let's try to push a little bit further. He said, I took 2 days off. First day I went down south. Second day, I don't even remember where I went. But after that, it was just a train wreck. He said, because I lost everything I had. He said, sometimes you need to push, okay. You know, I got to somewhere, I'd never been there before. I said, okay, time for me to like, you know, take it easy. It's not time to take it easy. It's time to take it to another step, to another level. Avraham Avinu was always moving. 10 Nisyonis, one after the other. He just finished the Akedah, for goodness sakes. Just finished the Akedah, and he comes home and his wife is dead. Now he's got to deal with another challenge, because life is all challenges. If you say, you know what, I want to take a break from my challenges, you're going to fall apart. That's what happened. And we all, you know, sometimes have moments where we say, okay, this is going to be hard. What do I do now if I'm not in the mood? And of course, every person has to figure out what the challenge is. But the answer is often not to just bail out and say, okay, I want to like take a step back. The answer often is it's time to take a step up. And that's what we learned from Noach. It's the beginning of the winter's man, everybody said. We have to try to be prepared for a big challenge. It's a big challenge. Let's step up. And let's keep moving ourselves forward. Beis Hashem, let's see at the Shemaya, to have the most amazing smile of our lives. Shabbos.